Good evening. I'd like to call to order the Administrative Control Board meeting for Mountain Regional Water. It is January 15th, 2026 at 6 o'clock. Do we have any public input tonight?
We do not.
Okay. Well, number two is making an introduction of Phil, our new board member.
Phil Tizabek, new board member. Basically, background in oil and gas pipeline inspection for about 20 years or so. Been in Park City for 25 years. Lived in Silver Springs since 2005. So I've been a customer of Mountain Regional all the time. They're just interested in water in general, especially the geeky technical side of it. Yeah, just happy to be part of the board.
And Phil and his HOA were a participant in the landscape exchange or lawn exchange program.
That was a very awesome experience for us. For sure, we want to do more, actually. So I'm sure we'll see if we can fire some this year.
I love that.
Karen was also reappointed for another 4 years. So Phil, Joel's remaining term until 2028. And Karen is through 2029.
Okay. Great. Does anyone have any other questions grilling Phil? He's just down in Summit Park, right?
Hey. Maybe introduce the other members and staff.
Oh, yeah. So why don't we go around the room and everyone can introduce themselves?
Brian Davenport, Mountain Regional Water, Director of Operations.
Chris Braun, Mountain Regional Water, Chief Technology Officer.
Andy Garland, General Manager.
Corey Shorty, board member.
Dave Thomas, the attorney.
The attorney.
Unless you want me to sign somebody else.
No, please, no.
Dave's also Brian and my stand.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent job.
I'm Sam Grenlin, the district engineer. Been here about almost 6 years. Yes.
Anna Peacock, met in the kitchen, but customer
service manager. And Steve Anderson, CFO, been here about 8 years, a little over 8 years now, too.
Mike Colby, I'm a board member.
And I'm Karen Wilson, I'm also a board member, but we're glad to have you on the team.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Okay, well, now that we've done that, do we need to go into executive session?
We do not.
Terrific. Okay, then let's move on to the consent agenda. Did anyone have any changes to the meeting minutes for the last two meetings?
I had a question.
Okay.
On the November meeting, where we were having some technical on daily attendance.
He did, and then he left afterward. After we come back, we're on the TV. But he never said anything, never responded to the chats, never spoke.
Did we determine, was that Tom Daly from Park City?
I don't know.
I don't even know if he's still there.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how we wanted to report that.
I felt like it was. I mean, Anna, did you note that he was on in the best part of the minutes?
So I said he was a guest, and then
I mean, he could hear, as far as we're aware, he could hear all the audio.
Yeah.
Okay. No other questions.
Okay, great. Does anyone have any questions on the check register? We've got 2 months in there. If no one else has any questions, I have a call.
Okay.
It looked like we had $25,000 for oil changes on our transformers.
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones at Lost Canyon.
Okay.
Yep. So the three big transformers down there have their oil changed out because they had, those are the ones that had the high levels of ethylene and methane in them.
Okay.
And as a security caution and due to the age of the transformers and how hard we run them, changing out the oil preventatively.
Okay.
And it's a lot of oil.
Yeah, it's a lot of oil.
Was ethylene and methane?
Methane. Mm-hmm. Among other things, but those are the scary ones.
Are those the scary ones?
If you got a match.
And then I just noticed we had a number of identical charges on the credit card for employee Christmas. There were like three of them for $9.99.
Yeah, so we broke up. We gave the employees a power bank. So it's the $9.99 times 3 divided by 31.
Okay.
I don't know what they were, 100.
Because we were splitting it between credit cards.
Yeah, three different credit cards.
Well, and it only lets you order 10 at a time.
That's what it was.
Yeah, the Amazon things.
Yeah.
We ran into that when we did the Walmart's too.
Okay, and then we had $2,100 for McDonald's Skylight.
So up in the colony, over at Pump Station, we have Skylights.
Okay.
It's basically how we pull our pumps. And the snowblower guys in the colony like putting snow on top of them. They're plastic, and they just break. You could place quite a few of these.
You have boosters, boosters down below the road platform. So when the blower's going by, it's blowing snow down onto the roof.
Oh,
it's a concrete pump.
So the giant, like, roadside.
Yeah. Part.
Okay, and then we had a, it was just an MCC, but it was further on in the notes, so no. The motor control center.
For Innsbruck?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's it on checks.
Balls and bolts.
You did.
You got good job, Steve.
we have a pool of love each month.
I know. Well, you know.
Under $50.
And then we have a purchase order for the community water tank replacement. Was that in the budget, or is that kind of a...
Yeah, that's in the capital budget for 2026.
Okay.
We budgeted $1.7 million for the design and the tank, and so we're going to come in under budget for this, probably when everything's said and done, but it does give us a little contingency. And not to take too much from Sam, but it's the FX Construction won the bid, and they're the ones who did that tank up in Summit Park.
Oh,
that
okay, great.
That we're so happy about.
Okay. Terrific. Then would anyone like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous. And then we're on to you, Steve.
Great. So as you know, I do a quick soft close at the end of the year. We'll be going into audit prep, started that, and closing capital projects. There's always a few things that happen, but I wanted to give you kind of a view of how the first preliminary close of 2025 looks. Revenue did end up $3 million above budget. As we get into that, you'll see $2 million of that was from water sales. Because the usage was so high this summer. We also were about $1 million under on our expense budget. So combined, that's why we were about $4 million better than budget, made $7.5 million this year, or our change in net position, because we don't really make money. All of our any money that we generate turns back into capital projects, is how we fund our capital projects, refurbing lines, building new tanks, all that kind of stuff. As you'll see, water sales in that next little graph below the little box, $2.1 million above, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but it was basically because usage was 26.6% higher than the four-year average, and even significantly higher than last year, which we thought was a really big year. Park City Wheeling came in basically right on budget, like $6,000 above. Development-related collections were under budget by $65,000, but that's just because of the change of the SA assessments. If you back that out down a little bit, we're actually $147,000 above budget, and that was due to impact fees. We budgeted $600,000. We ended about $800,000 in impact fees. And then the other revenue we've kind of been through before, that we got that direct pay reimbursement from
the federal government for the floating cell array of $548,000. So that helped that out. The other part we had budgeted, we did clear what we thought we'd clear on the building after I netted against the assets, because we did have assets on the books, the building, the land, and all those kind of things. But that's where that goes in other revenue. The other revenue line is usually like $100,000. This year it was a lot bigger than that. So on the expenses, everybody, all the departments did well. Operation, maintenance, repairs, non-O&M, and depreciation. The one where I missed was the bond issuance. Just didn't foresee all of the WIFIA expenses kind of starting the year. So the $61,000 you see there, that was $25,000 for the application early in the year, and then we had to pay Fitch $36,000. You probably saw that in the check register to redo our rating. As you recall, our bond rating, they kept it at the same level, which was really good considering the amount of money we're talking about borrowing. They liked that we'd done a lot of prep. We'd been telling them we were going to do it. And then when we did it, they said, yeah, we already had kind of factored that into your AA rating. So cash on the next page, you'll see we are coming back down to normal cash levels. The biggest is all the money we borrowed to build this building in the shop. We've used all of it except about $1.5 million to make our last final payments when things are done. So the $25 million you see that we have right now is pretty typical, maybe a little bit higher for the end of the year, a little higher than normal because of the high sales this year. But in December, the reason it goes from 31 to 25 normally is there was a $2 million check that we were based in, and all the debt payments, well, not all the debt payments, but the large majority of debt payments, about $3 million come out in December too. So that's why the cash dropped. And why it's not as high as last year is really because of the cash we had last year that we hadn't started spending really yet on the building. All right, customer growth. Probably the thing to see is we know the COVID high spike, lots of new customers, lots of new customer requests, high impact fees. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Chris. And then we dropped down to 150s, a little above average. 2024 was what I would consider below our historical average at 90. This year is pretty much what our historical average has been. So we seem to have kind of bottomed out in 2024 and seem to be coming out of that on the amount of new connection requests. There's the $817,000 in impact fees that I alluded to earlier. You see kind of the same thing happen for promontory lot sales on the end. 23, 24, they were 35. So kind of a low point for them. They were back up to 51 this year. So we seem to be coming back to an average. Let's see where we go from there, whether Olympics causes a spike or we trend back down or who knows. But
hey, Steve,
yeah.
I feel late asking this question.
No, you're great.
But new connections versus new units.
If an apartment building has like 20 connections in it or something like that, we will break that out differently. So we had a couple of multi-family units, let's say. So that's why.
Is that to say that in 2023, we had no multi-family development in the district?
That all of the requests were single-family homes, residences, or commercial one residences. Nothing yeah. that I would have considered an apartment or a condo or something
right.
like that.
Apartments are still fairly unusual.
Yeah.
Condos and townhomes are more.
You got that Liberty Ranch.
Right.
See, and those are all.
How many units are in those buildings?
The Mineros apartments were probably the big difference between in 2024, between the 90 and the 237. But townhomes are one unit, one connection, so they're one-on-one. It's just really when you're talking about an apartment building with workforce housing.
That was 2021.
Yeah. So that's why you get a little bit of difference between those. I can't remember what. Oh, it was Liberty Ranch. It was the employee housing at Park.
Those are either 4 or 8 per building. I can't remember which.
What?
I just said that. So.
Liberty Ranch.
Oh, did you? I didn't hear you. Yeah. Oh, really? That was the difference this year. All right. Okay. On to usage for the year. So December, so at the top left is just the current month. So you see the 77 acre feet by our customers. Thank you, Chris. Was actually a little bit down from last year and close to the 4-year average. Occupancy was down during December. You know, usage was kind of down. We could see that, especially in residential. People didn't seem to be at their second homes. But if you go right below that to our direct customers and you see the 2,360 acre feet for the year, far and away our highest usage year previously. And the 26.6%, that's against the 4-year average. But even if you take it just against last year, it was significantly higher. Olympic Park was down. A lot of what that was, they couldn't make snow in November and the beginning of December. Kind of the same with Park City. They would have usually taken more water in November and the beginning of December, but again, they weren't making water. And then the Summit Water, they ended up 486. This was our last year for a few years with sending them water. Basically, there was no need for them to draw down the full 500 acre feet, so they came up a little short. Let's go ahead and go down to the graphs, maybe. Is that what's next? Or a simple graph? So this is comparing revenue over the last 4 years. The blue line is this year. You can see the crazy spike in the summer because of the extreme high usage. And then it kind of came back to budget. And without the usage, it was just a little higher than that last year because of the rate increase and the slight growth. So kind of where we would have expected to end the year there. And the next one just kind of shows we were very close to budget for December on revenue, but because we mixed and matched a little bit. Residential was down because of less occupancy, people at their second homes or whatever. But wholesale, so that's a lot of the snowmaking. They did try to kick it up in December and make up for some of it. So that ended up a little over budget, but on the budget of 1.05 million, we were $9,500 off in December. So pretty close. We'll take that. Strong revenue year, which is really nice because we have a lot of capital projects going in 2026, which Sam will talk about later, but it was good. That's how the year went.
Great.
Any questions? Any thoughts?
At $3 million, make any dent in the $80 million plant upgrade financing? That's a big chunk of change.
Yeah, it's not quite $80 million, or I would be not here.
$18 million. What was that? $60 million, sorry.
Just relax.
I had a red ball before I came here.
You need to sound like Dr. Evil if you're going to say numbers, just big, giant numbers like that.
It helps because we can only borrow 80% of the costs. WIFIA loans only allow you to use 80%. You have to fund the other 20% yourself. So that $3 million extra does help us fund our 20% of the treatment. If that makes sense.
Yep.
There's impact fees and other things we can mix into it, but it all helps with capital projects, however you cut it. All right.
Do you have anything else to...
With the update, we had another call today. We have not been approved by OMB yet, but we are definitely on the final checklist kind of thing. Legal counsel, I mean, it's really in the attorney's hands at this point. Once we get approval from OMB, it's kind of a 30-day clock usually to get the funding or closing. So cross your fingers the government doesn't shut down again, because that could throw a little bit of a wrench into whatever timing we've got going. But right now, I'd hope in February, expect March, unless we shut down for a while.
There was a positive vote today on funding some projects, including EPA and water.
Okay.
Saw that before we came in here.
Yeah, WIFIA has been still funding projects. There's money going out. They're not stopping it. So under the WIFIA loan program. So that's good news that people who are ahead of us in the line are getting through the line, let's say. So.
Great. Well, let's hope that keeps moving forward.
All right.
Sam, would you like to tell us about all the great new projects we have on deck for 2026?
Yeah. So this is just an overview of kind of the largest projects we're going to have. We kind of this tier system for reporting purposes. I kind of developed with a passport member, Tim, but in general, if there's a update, I'll give a relevant update every quarter on all that. Especially when the turn plant gets going, we'll provide a lot more visibility on that too. We're separated in three tiers. And we have three tier one projects, which we define as over 5% of the district's budget, which is around $20 million this year.
Yeah.
So anything over 1 million cracks are minimum quarterly update category. So we'll get an update on the 60% design of the treatment plant project next month. The Crowell folks haven't presented the board probably for over 6 months, so it'll be a good time to bring them. And we'll be having our 60% workshop and review just prior to the board meeting as well, the week before. So design's going really well. It's honestly been pretty easy lift from our end. So we've been able to manage the time, but of course on the Corolla side, they're ramped up in the whole time. And then Bill, just for your information, everybody's kind of heard this, but all those bullets, I'll take a look on some other demos, I think broad strokes, things are not hit when we go into the treatment plant project.
Sure.
The biggest, new construction or new structure is going to be that chemical building, which is going to be a new structure outside the treatment plant, existing treatment plant building. And all the chemicals, of course, as the name implies, with that building, with proper containment and safety upgrades, and we're trying to reuse the existing space in the plant to be as space efficient. So we're not building a bunch of new structures and heavy costs in terms of that. So there's the big scary Dr. Evil number, or if you want to do that.
37.
Yeah. and we will also, for the next board meeting, have a 6% cost estimate, which is by far the best cost we have ever had for the project and any of its different flavors we've drawn up over the years. So I'm excited and nervous to get that update. The way the Corolla folks work is they have a whole separate group that just does estimating. So they take a 60% design, deliver it to us, and at that same time, they're going to deliver it to their cost estimating group and hand off, and then they take about 2 weeks or so to run the cost estimate.
What bid?
So September 14th, 2026 is our targeted notice to proceed. I can include at least a quarter of the update too. We're looking to bid September with the hopes of having another winter off season available to the contractor to do a heavy lift. The project's not going to be possible in its concept without taking the plant offline for an extended period. We're thinking 3 months. And that will happen not the 26th, 27th, or 27th. But if it is possible for another shutdown window this winter, I think that would be not only helpful for the contractor, but I think pricing would reflect that too. We'll probably get better pricing if we have more downtime available.
When will you issue the bid documents?
Oh, I don't know the date off the top of my head, but you can work back from that September date. I can even send you the schedule during that meeting. Yeah, we've got all the milestones, but the date I pulled out for the back was NTP date, which is mid September. So that's the plant design update. The next kind of big project. Was already in the earlier in the board packet, and we're replacing the tank up well drop in the canyon space area. There is an existing 240,000 gallon tank that we've been inspecting regularly that's continuing to deteriorate. And we're going to construct a new tank next to it, keep the existing tank online, and swap over after the construction's complete. So this is going to upsize the storage in the Canyons area up to a 500,000 gallon tank. And that's actually closer to the number of storage that was on site when the district annexed community water. There was two tanks right next to each other, and the adjacent tank failed catastrophically.
The bottom fell out.
Yeah.
So the day after the resort closed, probably 6, 7, 8 years ago now, just flooded the whole run. When I was at Summit Water, so I know I was in the tank. Not in the tank when it happened.
I was going to say that.
I was done.
You were hands on GM over there. That's for sure.
But the side of the previous tank obviously makes things easy for us from a civil perspective, site grading and such. And we had a really good response to bids, which I was excited about. And like Steve said, FX Construction was the lowest response bidder. And yeah, they were incredible to work with. It's on the Park Tank 1, so I'm really happy with how bidding went. So far, so good on that. Go to the next one. And third Tier 1 project is a new ranch at our Old Ranch Booster Pump Station site on Old Ranch Road. This is one of two well sites that have been discussed or highlighted in the past, even, you know, going back to Buck's time at the district. There was a previous productive well in the area in the Twin Creek Formation that actually supplied water to the colony in early days that was later abandoned. And there was a well completed, probably a well completed in the area that we were able to see the well logs and actually get some good pricing information on. So that project is currently out to bid right now, and I'm hoping to award that at that February meeting. That 1.4 number is not a contract number because we don't have one. That's an internal cost estimate that we put together. It was our requested budget number. So we'll see how that plays out when we get the bids back. I've gotten some good feedback from Bill Laughlin, though, that it is a good time to bid with some folks looking for work. So hopefully that works in our favor.
Is that for just the well?
No, that's with equipping. So the main positive piece of this site, besides attractive geology, is we have a structure there. And it was actually an office for the district at one time. So there's a nice space available on the west side of the building for the mechanical bay. So the concept will be, locate the well where it makes most sense for the driller, lie down and stage in front. And then we'll run a pitless adapter to the southwest side of the building as well. And bring the mechanical into the well house there. And it will discharge onto the low pressure suction side of the booster pump station, which is the Atkinson zone of the system, which is what we call the main hub of our district. So water's in Atkinson. We can take booster pump stations like Old Ranch and shoot it to the far reaches of the district that needs to go.
What's your target production rate?
We're throwing 300 out of the Clissel wells. Safety up to the 300. That's it for our wild guess. But yeah, I think the geology is, well, I'm not a hydrogeologist, but 300 is a target, which would make a big impact for us. And it's easy for us from a water rights perspective. It makes a lot of sense as a site. The budget was available, the water sales. Steve said
this is, for example, one project that became possible because of the water sales last year.
And then keep going, Chris. I carried this project over. I'll probably just give one more update. Because, you know, there was a big effort in 2025. This is a betterment or a request to a promontory construction contract to upsize or extend a water line as they go towards Browns Canyon. And the water lines are installed. I think it was over 7,000 feet of water line that went in. And the last remaining piece is the control valve structures, mechanical buildings to make the different pressure zones as it drops in elevation from the top of the promontory down towards Browns Canyon. So there's an update on one of the control valve buildings or structures. And it is a big priority for promontory to get these finished for a number of reasons. So I think by next quarter, we'll get a completed update on these guys. This project off of this. So this project has been on our impact fee facility plan since I started, so since 2019. So I'll be a good one to finish up. Now on to the smaller projects. So it's part of our program, just working our way through the wells, keeping our groundwater source in good shape. The lake well by Silver Springs is next on the list. Not only are we doing some well maintenance, but the drive, the controls, and the SCADA hardware is going to be replaced and updated. We've got about $110,000 as the budget there, and that's another internal estimate. I think we can stick to that. We'll provide budget updates as the go to the next. This is Chris's project, so ahead of getting the contractor into the treatment plant, it's advantageous to us to upgrade the main SCADA panel. So there's going to be a SCADA of an existing main plant building, and then an additional SCADA hub in the new building prior to construction. Chris is essentially managing this along with our integrator SCADA to get that done and clean ahead of the construction project to kind of minimize any disruptions. And then the last one we'll touch on, we've been working for, 2 years now on a storage and recovery project at Atkinson Well 2. So Atkinson Well 2 has water quality issues, and we need to blend the water prior to serving it. It's all in the TDS, or dissolved solids group, mostly sulfates and chlorides. Sulfates are native to the water drain formation there, and possibly from overusing the well in the past prior to mountain regionals formation. And then chlorides are a source protection issue from road salt, most likely. So the concept would be to recharge the well during non-irrigation months with treated surface water, and then allowing us to get more production out of the well when needed. So our Division of Water Rights application is currently under review. We've got an injection permit active with the water quality folks. We got a verbal approval from the Division of Drinking Water folks on our design, but they want the water rights folks to approve first before they finish the paperwork. So after that review, hopefully we'll be in good shape to do our 3-year pilot study, which is what we requested.
And that is a shared site with High Valley Water, so some of those costs will be shared based on our agreement with them. And going back to approvals, we do have approval for the well from the state to go.
Yep. And from a mechanical perspective, we're going to do all the work in-house. It's pretty simple to just take distribution system water and get it down into the well. And we've worked with some, folks that specialize in this from the hydrogeology perspective to make sure we're doing it a smart way, setting it above the screens, getting good target flow rate, and should be in good shape. Just need that last approval, hopefully. Start in 2026, probably, most realistically after irrigation. What?
What's the exchange ratio between what you put in and pull back?
Like asking for a credit for water rate?
No, but if we put 100 gallons in it, or 100 gallons in, can we really get all of that back out?
No, it's not at this pilot stage. We're just trying to get really that production for 3 months out of the well. It's not going to be. We could do that, but we're not targeting this small scale pilot to see if it would work long term. Trying to get a 1-to-1 takeoff. And then from a water rights perspective, that piece of it will make it more complicated if we want to try and retain some of the water right young water that we're putting down the well. And again, for the numbers for this pilot are small enough that we're in good enough shape from a water right perspective. We don't need to actively recover exchanges. But again, this is just a 3-year pilot and a low level. See if the concept actually works or improves the both. And then if it did, then of course I think we'd pursue more like long-term sustainable strategy.
So how much would we inject?
So I think most realistic, we're going to start at 100 GPM. But we've sized it with the injection piping. And there's orifice plate involved to create back pressure, make sure we're not injecting any air in the well. I think we can easily go up to 200. And then we're just going to create enough head loss to get back to that. And then depending on when we can start the pilot, that would determine how much volume we could actually get down. Yeah, stage one, we're thinking 100 GPM. We don't have concrete timeline yet as a result of that. Water rich.
Thank you.
Yeah, which has been going on 7 months now. So yeah, those are the big projects for the year. It's for sure the, you know, by like dollar amount and scope, the most ambitious, you know, set of projects since I've been with the district. But I think we've got good folks and help and right consulting partners where we need them. So looking forward to it.
That looks amazing. Definitely ambitious. All right. Does anyone have any other questions on the project? If not, we will move to something we're all excited about, the annual conflict of interest disclosure form. And I brought my form just in case.
I have. There's extra forms
here. Yeah, if you didn't bring one with you, we have copies here. We can have staff notarize them for you as a reminder. This is
one of these out.
This is a requirement of any board member that we have to do annually in January. It has to be done and completed by January 31st. So if you want to take a minute tonight and do it, that's great. If not, I just need it back before the 31st, and we update it on our website. Do you want me to keep going while people are filling it out, or do you want people?
Let's go ahead and do the your comments.
Sure. So last Thursday night, we hosted residents of Lake Rockport Estate. Sam, Jess, myself, Lisa were here. We had about 40 people. We had Nathan Lundstadt, from the Division of Drinking Water. We had Representative Oxier here, who's the state rep that covers that part. It is definitely a house divided. I don't think we will see any movement out of them in the near future unless there's some catastrophic event that kind of moves us along. But there's a lot of distrust among their residents. There's two different opinions. So we made this space available. It works. It was good. Sam, I don't know if you have anything else to add on that front.
Oh, they verbally committed to finishing the second part of the engineering study this year, which is they're moving really slow on that piece. It's been 3 years and we're halfway done.
again, they just need to get on the same page. On Tuesday, we had an administrative retreat with the managers, administrative staff. One of the things that we need to start talking about is most of the debt that the district has taken on has been for growth in the district. And one of the things that we need to start really focusing on is our aging infrastructure and how we're going to pay for it. We have parts of the system that are 40 plus years old and technically are at the end of their useful life. They're functioning, but we can't wait to replace a tank. You just can't pull it. You're pulling a pumper motor, and you can wait 2 weeks and you get back in business. It's a lot more involved. So we need to begin to look at things like that, figure out how we would pay for things like that going on in the future. We're talking about what this summer is going to look like from a drought perspective. If things don't turn around, we're going to really have to heavily enforce conservation. More than likely go to an odd even watering schedule in the summer. Hopefully we're allowed to offer outdoor irrigation. We haven't heard anything from Weber Basin. Soil moisture right now is still pretty good. I was on a river council call on Tuesday and people are still optimistic, but we're going to prepare for the worst at this point. At some point we may look at how we bill our billing units to make sure that we're billing the correct way. You know, we allow people to have more ERCs based on the house size. But if you use 100,000 gallons and not one ERC versus 100,000 gallons for four ERCs, you're using the same amount of water, but you're not paying the same. And so it's something else that we're going to look at. We talked about internal training. What kind of training do our staff need? And one of the big things that came out was computer related, you know, what kind of Excel classes or other computer classes, email to offer our employees. So we're going to be looking at that. We're looking at our staffing levels. Do we have the right mix of people? Are there other areas that we should consider? One of the things as the district grows, we're going to need to start doing more testing. So is it time to add an additional person in the water quality world with Sam? No, probably nothing in 2026, but in 2027, we might bring on an intern, someone that's young in their engineering career in college, and hopefully start teaching them and getting them interested in water, and hopefully eventually fill a position in water quality. We're going to be, we need to look at our salary ranges. We have people that have been here that are pushing against the limits. We know some of the sister agencies in the basin have gone and done salary studies where they've expanded their salary ranges. That's something else we're going to accomplish in 2026. And we're also going to be updating, making sure our policies are up to date, our administrative policies, our personnel policies. There have been some laws that have changed on the personnel side, so we need to just make sure that we're updating that. And then just succession training in general. It's still, even though the Olympics is 8 years away, it's still on the early side to start doing any real meaningful planning for that, but that is on our radar. One of the things that we talked about toward the end of last year was doing a board retreat. And I don't think if we ever decided which day was the best. You know, some people were on the Monday, Tuesday, and some people were the Thursday, Friday. So, and when Ian is back next month, if we can pick a date and time, I think it'd be important to have, even if it's a half a day or a longer, you know, maybe start a little earlier on a Thursday and kind of go through some of the things that we've been talking about as a district staff. And then we were looking again at our master plan in 2027. So preparing for that, it'll be 5 years since we've completed that. So just taking one day at a time and praying for snow.
Yeah. We have to make the call in April?
We do.
Okay.
And Steve's already started modeling rates and
updating the financial thing that drove what we took the drought rates to in 2022. It's interesting what I'm seeing. So
do we...
So in April, we have to decide if we're going to
do drought rates or not.
The board has to decide that. There, I do know there's a couple of House bills sponsored by Representative Owen related to excessive usage water rates. That'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
And April's the key, because that's when we find out whether Weber Basin puts any restrictions on us. And that's really what drives us to have to put restrictions on our customers.
But do we have to get that those rates approved like we do? Okay.
Yeah, and then we just started them on June 1st. Because there isn't really much outdoor irrigation until then. But if we decided in April, to give the 30 days, you usually can start on May 1, so that's why we start on June 1.
And it's going to be interesting if this weather pattern continues when the irrigation season would start this year.
Yeah.
That would make me nervous if people started a lot earlier than May, June. And we just need to make sure we understand that.
Yeah, you look at the 2025 usage, and it was a lot higher in May than it's ever been before.
Okay. Questions on department updates? I have a couple. Sam, in your report, you talked about reduced staffing in engineering, and I wasn't sure what that meant.
Oh, yeah. I think it's fine to share. Stacy's just been out for a planned medical reason.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, for some time, yeah. Maybe not quite a quarter. Everybody's been pitching in, not just, our group, but Anna's team's been a huge help picking up the stock with inspections, keeping everything. Yeah, Stacy does all the heavy lifting for air compliance sampling, investigative water quality sampling, and development, not only inspection, but the admin side too. So it's good timing, like the time of year to take the time out. So that helps us a little bit. Not that that should be the first day.
Is she going to be okay?
She'll be back a week from Monday.
Yeah, we took her lunch Christmas week, and she looked great. It's good spirits, had a good outcome.
Okay. Okay, great. And then Lisa's report talked about GDPA, and I was wondering if that seems to be something like grandma, like there's a something that maybe is about public records, what we can disclose.
Is it about the training that
I got a little bit? Oh, Government Data Privacy Act. So we, all of our staff, and Dave can help chime in. We have to, any employee that has access to any consumer resident information, which we all have, it's an annual training. So we have to take an annual privacy. It was an 8-minute video that the administrative staff has taken to this point. We need to make sure the rest of the staff has to do it. We have to keep a document that shows that we have taken it. It's about not disclosing things about residents of the district, customers of the district. This doesn't go to the board or no? Do they have to?
Ultimately, the privacy policy will go to this board with the recommendation to the county council.
It also will change how our contracts are written, because there has to be a provision in there about privacy and not disclosing information. It's something that, when was it first And that has been two years ago, but it really hasn't been defined fully. So
it's not a restriction on public records, it's a restriction on privacy.
Well, it's a restriction on dissemination. So when you have a GRAMA request for public documents, there'll be an emphasis on redacting out any information that may violate the Privacy Act. So it'll be a little bit more work to do, but they also want to make sure that each governmental entity tells publicly individuals who come in and provide personal data what you're going to use the personal data for, how it's going to be protected. So I think it's an effort to stop what's happened in the past in terms of people using personal identification markers in order to engage in fraud and identity theft, things like that. So it requires a lot more work because you're going to have to segregate and designate your files in all the documents that your entity has, including all your historical archive records. They're all going to have to be recategorized. So it is a time-consuming process.
Okay. I think that's it. That's all I had. Did anyone else have any questions on the department updates? Okay, well, believe it or not, I think we've gotten to the end of our agenda already. Not even 7 o'clock.
We'll make up for it next month.
I'm sure we will. Yeah, Corolla's coming. do we have anyone who'd like to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Okay, we are adjourned at 6:52.